opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I'm celebrating local here.
Good evening, North State. You are listening to KCNR 95.6. 95.6 FM.
96.5.
I know. I'm like the robot, right?
You got
and
the dyslexic 1460 thing going on.
AM, right?
That's it.
It's that time of evening. I'm starting to short circuit.
Well,
Rhonda.
It's the heat has melted your brain a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. You know what happened? We had such a beautiful winter and such a gorgeous spring. It was like none other. And then.
Well, the spring was 2 weeks long.
Anyway, so you're listening to Talk Radio here with James Mazzotta from Enjoy Magazine.
And Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy Magazine.
And how are we doing, North State? Listen, so normally, you know, we just, you know, spend the first probably quarter, 15 minutes of the show talking about all kinds of really great things within Joy Magazine, which we will do as well. But we actually have our guests sitting in the studio now because one of them actually has to make a dash for it after her little 15 minutes of stardom here on the show, because she's got Riverfront Playhouse, practice, or what do you guys call
rehearsal.
It? Rehearsal. Thank you very much. I'm gonna get going here as soon as I get this coffee down. Erin Haney Stewart from Riverfront Playhouse is with us tonight, and we're going to be talking about The Rainmaker, which is one of the upcoming shows. Rhonda?
Yes.
Since you're the president, acting president currently.
Yes.
Tell us, oh, wise one. What's going on?
Well, I think Erin can tell you even better, but The Rainmaker opens on the 28th of July, next Friday, and we are super excited. We've got a really great cast, and Erin, tell us about it.
Well, it's an interesting play because it's been around for 60-plus years. It was on Broadway, then it was a movie with Katharine Hepburn and Burt Lancaster. It was revived. It's been done many, many times, and it's a staple of community theater. And I didn't really know it. And when I saw the movie, I didn't really like it. Because watching Katharine Hepburn trying to act like a simple farm girl
didn't work.
She got an Academy Award, so what do I know? Anyway,
isn't that odd? Does it? I've had that happen in my life. Does it make you feel like you're an outsider in some type of way when something? There are things that I just cannot stand, right? And they win awards for it, and I'm like, it was something wrong with me.
Well, people loved her. Mm. So Burt Lancaster didn't win, and I thought he did a pretty good job. So the play is about the Curry family, and it's in a time of drought. And it's 104 degrees. And I thought, July in Reading.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, I didn't think we were going to get there, and I wish we hadn't. But
you could make the whole thing really real if you just turn the air off during that part of the show.
Well, the castle will look hot, like they're really hot. I was thinking about the play today, and I've written about this play, you know, about a million times for different things, auditions, After Five, whatever. But I was thinking today, it reminds me of a family because there's two sons and a daughter, and they have their assigned roles, you know, like we do in our families.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the first time I ever thought about it that way. It's a romantic comedy.
Okay.
The younger son he's the comic character.
Okay.
But there's a lot of laughs in it. And the drought is so present, it's like another character.
Mm.
And it's on a ranch, and the cattle are dying, and that's just that.
The boogeyman.
Yeah, a fear. Yeah. So, and I've got a great cast.
When was this movie? I mean, like when was the story written? Was it written before it was made into a movie?
Yes, it was written in 1954 after the author N. Richard Nash traveled through eastern Texas, I think, where they were in a 7-year drought. Then when he wrote it, he set it in the 30s to bring in that depression piece, too, I guess. And 2 years later, it was made into a movie. And then it's been revived, and it was even made into a musical called 110 in the Shade, which we can all relate to.
Yeah. I was like, are you sure this isn't about Reading?
Well, and when we chose this play, it was last year, and we were in a drought.
That's right.
Yeah. So Thank goodness we're not now, but yeah.
But everybody remembers.
At the moment, yeah.
I mean, it's a cycle. Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah.
And it is, really, because, I mean, I've lived here long enough. My parents moved here when I was five. And I remember, like, the drought. I don't remember what year it was, but in the 70s.
In the early 70s.
Yeah, and, like, that was a drought.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember we had a Toyota Land Cruiser, and you could actually literally drive into the lake and drive on the bottom to find water. Mm-hmm. Like, the lake was literally separated. There were only small bodies of water in pockets, right?
Right.
And they told us that, you know, it would be 30 years, something ridiculous, or I don't know, whatever it was, but it was years and years and years it would take to fill up. And that very next year, it rained and filled the entire lake up.
And that's what happened this year, too. Yeah, it was going to take forever for that lake to
fill. I had just moved here from Maryland, and it looked like the moon when you went up to look at the lake. It was so arid.
Yeah.
But it rained for like 40 days and 40 nights the next year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty amazing.
Yep.
So. Yeah, so, I mean, you guys have done an amazing job. What is your role, then, with Riverfront? Is it just that you are active?
I'm directing for them right now.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yeah. So you're not on the board? Or
no,
because you seem like you should be and have been on the board for everywhere and everybody.
Well, I was on the board in 1982.
Okay.
It opened in 81. And by the way, this play was done in 1981. It was the second play of the inaugural season. And Marla Frost, now Marla Frost O'Brien, directed it, and she's my stage manager in this play and a very good friend of mine.
So this is a little nostalgic,
very,
right?
Very, very.
Because one of the founders, Dick Cornfield.
Oh, I knew him well.
Yeah, was my father's vice president for his company.
Was he the K, right?
He was the K, Cornfield, yeah, and KMS, yeah. And so I've known Dick since I was a little kid, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've been to probably 300 million plays over the last, you know, 100 years that Riverfront's been in existence. But it's so amazing to where it's blossomed into, right? Like, it's hard not to love the old location because that was just what you knew, right? Like, it was just like an old friend.
Mm-hmm.
But the transition into the new location, the facility is so nice.
It's a beautiful facility. I miss the old stage because it was more of a thrust. You were closer to the audience, and I like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, I get that.
We don't use a curtain in this play at all.
No?
Nope.
Oh.
So.
Interesting, all these little tidbits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how are the your actors? Are they getting
They're
it?
They're wonderful. They're doing a wonderful
job. Will I laugh? Will I cry?
Yes, you will. And they'll laugh and cry, too.
Yeah?
As part of their characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. And I've done a lot of directing over the years. And and they have been right where they needed to be all along.
Mm-hmm.
Until this week.
Uh-oh.
Which we call Hell Week.
I was going to say, tell.
Yeah, it's always the week before you go into dress rehearsal.
Mm.
And just all these pieces are coming together. Like, the set got finished yesterday, the scenic part. And just all this stuff happening at once.
And the lights, trying to get the lights working. And
the sound cues.
The sound cues. And
it's just a lot. And the actors are used to having all of my attention.
Mm.
And now it's in 500 different directions.
It's pretty exciting, too. We have,
I like it.
You know, there's a new person that's never acted on our stage before.
Right.
Actually, two.
Yeah.
Andrew and
Aiden. Right.
Yeah.
And then we have people that are very experienced.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we also have the girl that's doing sound and lights is brand new, too. And
right.
She just graduated, or she's still in high school?
She's still in high school.
Wow,
she's
good for her.
A senior.
Yeah.
She'll be a senior.
So is that what she wants to do? She wants to be in production of some kind?
Well, she was.
Or engineering. I mean, that would be an engineering
maybe.
Position.
Maybe. She was involved in Junior Playwrights Night Out.
Yes, she was. Uh-huh.
And those kids get to do everything. They do that. They write, they direct, they do
Which
the
is
cast.
Super, I think, important because, right, like in an environment where if you're stuck in one thing, but to be able to move into different practices, you never know what you end up liking, right? Sometimes it's like you wouldn't even have a thought that you'd like to run a soundboard or light board, right? And then you get to sit in it, and you're like, oh, wait, This is like the Starship Enterprise. This is exactly where I need to be.
And you know what? There's really something for everybody in the theater. So
there really is.
There really is.
It's amazing the amount of work it takes to pull it off. And I'm not even talking about the actors. Builders. They've been in a lot. They've been great.
Contracting, yeah.
Painter. And these are all people that do this as volunteers.
Yeah.
You know, nobody gets
but
paid.
That in itself is probably the quintessential thing about when you always talk about thespians and theater people or theater kids and stuff, right? It's like you can find a home no matter what your personality is or how quirky you may be or not. Right? You're either one that's going to be on stage or either somebody that's sewing or painting, building. You know, just there's a million things that moving parts to produce a show, right? And there's always a home for somebody.
Yeah.
You just have to be brave and go in and say, hey.
Yep.
Can
and
I just,
we welcome
I just,
everyone. So.
Can I just be a part? That's the second time I've hit
this mic.
I need to back up. I keep hitting my chin.
I taught drama at Enterprise for several years, and I was at Riverfront at the same time. And we just had a train between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And those kids, I said, go get directed by somebody else. You know? And they would come over and try out for plays at Riverfront.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping now that we're downtown that we can connect to the schools near
sure.
to
super,
here.
Sure. Super important, I think,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Playwrights Night Out Junior has really helped with that. Having teenagers reach out to their
theater departments, but also their musical departments, their bands and stuff. Because surprisingly enough, there are people that actually play instruments quite often can find that theatrical side of them, right? I mean, it's all about performing in some level.
We got our drum from Reading School of the Arts, the drum that we use in the play.
Oh, yeah?
You know, and after you've been an educator for 35 years in one community, you have a lot of contacts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I hope they're all coming to see the play.
Yeah.
So we have two tickets to give away.
Oh, okay.
And if you call... what's the phone number?
605-4567.
4567.
4567. That's easy.
You can win two tickets to see The Rainmaker. You will have to come to Enjoy the Store to pick them up. But
you can call in and give
call
us your
in
name.
And get a couple of tickets.
Again,
and
605-4567. 605-4567.
And if you don't win the tickets, how can you get tickets?
Well, you can go online. It's really easy. Click on tickets, and it'll take you to a list of the shows. And the top one right now is Rainmaker because it's next.
Or you can come in physically to the Enjoy Store, and we'll be more than happy to help you.
Buy your tickets right there and print
them and give them away or set them up for will call or however you want them done.
That's true. And we do sell at the door.
Yes.
But when last year we did Steel Magnolias, there wasn't anything at the door.
I know.
So I'm just saying that so you'll go out and get your tickets now.
Don't be a last minute. All right. Well, thank you so much,
Erin.
We appreciate you coming in and sharing with us. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll introduce you to our next guest. You're listening to KCNR.
The girl with the answer.
Hey there. Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
We are already live. This was a fast break. I'm loving the jam. Who is it? Tell me from the studio.
It's Panama by Sports.
Okay. I like it. Has an 80 vibe to it. You know, that's right up my alley.
I think they probably used a Juno in the production.
Oh, very cool. So, again, we are back. You're listening to KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM radio, your talk radio, but this is North State Now Hour with Enjoy, and I'm James Mazzotta.
And I'm Rhonda Alvey.
And we love coming in here once a month and really continuing to spread the good news of all the great people in the North State and everybody's hard work at keeping our community functioning and moving in the right direction. So without delay, we have our next guest, Lori Templeton from Grind Fire Defense. Good evening.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for having me on. This is amazing.
Yeah, our pleasure. So this is in the July issue. This is the issue that's out right now, July 2023, issue number 202, Sparkle and Shine. On page 31, we have an article that features your family business.
Yes.
And we've seen a lot of you lately. I mean, we were just out at the Palo Cedro Chamber meeting, and mm-hmm. you were there. You're a chamber member there.
Yes.
You also joined or are a chamber member of the Shasta County New Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that and your support. But you have a business that is, I think, very, very key to the North State. I mean, it's becoming commonplace everywhere, but especially here, considering the amount of fuel and fires that we seem to have during our summers. You are here to prevent that and save people's homes. So tell us a little bit about your family business and how it got started or why and where you're going, because it's big news and big and super important.
Yeah, it's a duo. It's myself and my son, John, who started the business in technically 2021, but we launched in March of 22, so we're still very new.
Yeah.
And we just have a passion and desire to help people understand, one, the dangers that are around them due to vegetation, mm-hmm. Where they're located, and then what they can do to mitigate risks. Like, we're not saying we can stop a wildfire because it's a natural phenomenon, or even if it's people started, once it gets going, it's mm-hmm. hard. But, you know, fire consumes fuel. So if you reduce the fuel, you can't take the oxygen out of the air. You can take the fuel out, which is going to reduce the heat, which is going to slow it down, which is going to give you the best chance.
Or not allow it to get up in the canopy,
not allow it to travel. You know, you can have a ground fire. You can have a canopy fire. How can we look at your property and help you mitigate it to be as safe as possible?
Sure.
And even if, you know, everybody should evacuate when they get the evacuation warning. Mm-hmm. I mean, we always recommend evacuate. So is your driveway clear enough to evacuate if a fire comes? Do you know your secondary exit if all of a sudden it gets blocked? And we all know the tragedies that happened in Paradise because there weren't exits.
That's frightening.
So it's not just looking right at somebody's home. It's how are you going to get in your neighborhood? How are you going to get out of your neighborhood? Do you have any elderly people in your home? Do you have anybody with disabilities? What, you know, help talk to people about what's your fire plan?
Animals, pets, yeah.
Horses. Who?
All right, I'm already tired.
Yeah, right.
Look,
it is. It's so much when you look at it, and I think one of the things that we battle is that we're used to fires. I mean, the reality is we've had them for so long up here, it almost seems like we're numb a little bit.
Yeah.
We're numb until a tragedy comes, mm-hmm. and then it's, then everybody's really in the emotion of the reality. But you talk to somebody who's lost their home, and there's PTSD, there's trauma, there's such a loss. You lose your memories, you lose your security, you lose your, you know, that safety net that you have, and everything that you've worked so hard for.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that worth to do some prevention?
Mm-hmm.
And we are kind of numb because we're used to, you know, we had two fires today in Bella Vista.
I saw both of them.
And, you know, you saw the pillows. Mm-hmm. Not pillows.
Yeah.
They weren't pillows.
Yeah, they look like pillows.
Pillows. Fluffy. The pillars
of smoke.
And so, you know, just before it sparked off, everybody's just about their day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a warning when a fire happens. It just happens. You don't know when. You don't know where.
How.
And
anything,
if you're not doing the prevention on the front side, you really are putting yourself in a place to be a potential victim because you haven't you haven't done what you needed to do to prevent. So how can we help people? Because not everybody can do the heavy lifting.
No,
not everybody knows how.
Nobody wants to.
Nobody wants to. Look, people.
It's hot.
The best thing, best advertising we could ever do is go outside and pick up a rake, mm-hmm. and I want you to be out there for about 15 minutes, and then you give us a call.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I like that.
Is the fire danger a lot worse this year because we had so much rain? Do you think?
The vegetation's probably thick as far as grass. The grasses that had grown.
Everything's grown a lot lusher. I'm not in the fire service. I mean, if John was here, he's in the fire service. Mm-hmm. He could really speak to whether it's a worse fire season or not. What I've seen and what we've seen personally is the vegetation grew.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't keep up on your grass. We're weed eating this year shoulder high,
oof.
Whereas last year maybe it was knee high.
Oh my
so if you aren't staying on it, it was growing out of control, and now most of it's just dead, sitting there. And you're right, it's more dense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to speak, you know, on behalf of that because I am not in the fire service, but we definitely see the vegetation has grown bigger and bolder,
sure.
and there's more of it.
Yep.
And I think it kind of snuck up on everybody.
It did. Mm-hmm. So we have, my family has a lot in one of the neighborhoods here in town, and there's no house on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of vacant lots in the neighborhood, and it's unbelievable the level the HOA puts us through with our lots and having, you know, I mean, it is serious business that clearing them and doing that stuff. One thing I wanted to point out, I mean, I'm all about the defensible space. I get it. But I'm one of those people that's just like, the trees. I want to live in a home that's got beautiful greenery and trees around mm-hmm. us. And so I just want to make it clear, just because you're doing defensible space doesn't mean you can't live in an environment that's still beautiful and green. It is really truly about put the fuel on the ground, making sure your trees are cut up nice and high. If there's not the fuel on the ground, then the fire that may come or approach the home or in that direction and stuff can be very low and really not intense, right? So that you can still have vegetation. But you definitely need to create those rings, right? I mean, it's like outward and then another set. I mean, I'm not sure how it all works, but I have seen things online where I've read about how, mm-hmm. you know, those of you that are like tree lovers and plant lovers and stuff, you can still do that, but you just need to do the other parts right.
Yeah, you're making a great point. One, you work from your home out, as you're talking about the rings. Your most vulnerable zones are your ember zone, which is 0 to 5 feet from your home. Mm-hmm. That's where you really want to reduce your vegetation. You really want to take the shrubs down or out. You want to get the bark out of there. And here's why, because the embers can travel from 1 to 5 miles. So your fire is a mile or so away. Those embers can land, and that close to your home, you have an ignition source close to your home.
Out.
So you want to take that out. So you start at the home, you move your way out, but you're right. Like I advise people, put around your home, get a pot, put it in a pot, like mm-hmm. get a beautiful, if you like lavender, which is not a good plant to have around your house, or rosemary because it's so flammable,
mm-hmm.
Put it in a beautiful pot. So if a fire pops off somewhere, you can move it away from your home.
Mm.
Move your furniture, move the boxes, rake your leaves, get those little catch points out.
Mm-hmm.
Super important to take care of your ember resistant zone. Get your roofer out there to look and make sure your roof's good. Get a gutter guy out there to make sure your gutters are good.
Right.
Make sure you got your double pane windows. Get somebody that does deck and fencing to make sure that they have that fire resistant material. And then as far as the vegetation goes, it depends on how your trees are. We want to leave vegetation because it's good for the environment and it's good for erosion control, and mm-hmm. everybody likes to have beauty. It really is about fire planning. Mm. Plan your trees. If you have a line of trees going from the backside of your property all the way up to your house, out to your house, even
like
if
dominoes.
You, right. Even if you clear everything out on the bottom, it takes one ember to get in that tree, and the whole line's on fire. So how do you take out a couple of those trees to break up? It's breaking up continuous fuel that you want to do.
Yeah.
Not stripping the land, not removing everything, but that's why they say you want to have 10 feet, 13, 10, I think it's 10, 18, and 20 feet spacing between your branches, not your trunks, by
yeah.
the way. So that the closer it is to your house, the further you want the spacing. So if you're looking out 200 feet from your house, you're going to have a beautiful orchard.
Mm-hmm.
You just put 10 feet between your branches, spread it out a little bit, and that way they don't automatically jump from one tree to another.
Yeah.
And then look, I always advise people, and it seems, I don't know if it seems silly, but go out to your yard, and if you're listening, go out after this, and look at your vegetation from the ground, and then look what it could catch on fire, and then follow the vegetation and think, flames are going to shoot three times higher than the vegetation that's on fire. Okay, so it's going to launch up, and if you're on a hill, it's going to even extend further, right? And then follow the fuel and watch how far out a fire could actually pop off and still get to your doorstep,
sure.
and then break it up. So
well,
keep
I mean,
the tree by your home.
And I think it's
yeah.
a good thing that you do that, but
yeah.
bottom line, people, like, just use some common sense,
yeah.
right? These fires they just consumed everything.
They consume everything,
It didn't even matter if you had defensible mm-hmm. space. In some cases, some of these fires, they just take over.
Yeah. That's why you gotta get out.
My childhood home burned down
mm-hmm.
in the car fire
yeah.
over on the west side. And it had massive defensible spaces around it. Not only defensible, but it was huge driveways that went around the entire home,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, and the house was made out of brick,
mm-hmm.
and the roof was tile,
mm-hmm.
and it still burnt to the ground. I mean, I don't even know how the house caught on fire. I mean,
it had those Italian spruces all lined up.
yeah.
but
there it is. And those are hot.
Those are hot.
there
they
go.
Were probably 15, 20 feet
yeah.
away from each other in a line. But
yeah.
they weren't in a line to the house.
Mm-hmm.
It was a line that went all the way around the house. But
mm-hmm.
there was a swimming pool, tennis court,
yeah.
driveway. I mean, it didn't matter.
Yeah. Well, sometimes those embers can come at your house at 40 to 60 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
And if, you know, it depends on, they can get in vents. They can,
yeah.
that's why all your vents and grates and all that home hardening is so important, because those embers are sneaky and they come in a firestorm, like you
yeah.
have the example with the car fire.
Yeah. The tornado.
There's such a mass of energy coming at the home
yeah.
that the radiant heat is going to combust things even without a flame hitting it. So
sure.
it's that fuel around you, like you said.
Uh-huh.
If you're in the middle of a forest, you can mitigate all day. You could have nothing within 100 feet.
Oh.
And the radiant heat from the vegetation that's on the sidelines can combust something. It's going to off-gas your material,
sure.
and it's the gases will catch on fire.
Yeah.
So really looking at what your topography, where are you located? If you're in Country Heights and you're on a canyon, you know, you're going to have to mitigate a lot farther than somebody that maybe is on a flat and they just got a field, because
mm-hmm.
it's a different fire coming at you.
Sure.
A canyon fire is different than a grass fire, which is different than a canopy fire. And then a firestorm, like you said, is once they start rolling. But
it's like the surface of the sky.
How do you – yeah, but you know, that was vegetation that was in that area that had been left for so long
yeah.
and so overgrown that it was able to fuel the fire. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if we all work as a community and start doing our own part to reduce our own pieces, we overall will be reducing the fuel in the community and hopefully, you know, over time lessen that chance.
Sure.
And it's everybody doing their part.
You're allowing people to do something about it,
yeah.
I think. And I think that was the biggest with the fires, that they felt so helpless. Like,
yeah.
had I been able to maybe do something ahead of time, it might have helped me out.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, it's real. That was 20 minutes.
I'm okay. telling you, this stuff is crazy.
You know your stuff.
You know.
It's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, so thank you for
yes.
coming in, Lori. This was with Grind Fire Defense. Mm-hmm. And again, in the the July issue of Enjoy Magazine on page 31 if you want to read more about the business. But they can also be contacted at 530-999-2035.
That's right.
And you have a website?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a website, and you can follow. Just look up Grindfire or Grindfire Defense. You can find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook.
Sure.
We're on all the social medias, and yeah, hit us up. Ask any questions.
There's no excuse, folks. You shouldn't lose your house.
Yeah.
It's super simple. If you're not going to do the work yourself, you know what? Give them a call.
Give us a call. And if you have questions about insurances, too, well, you can give us a call because we can look at the regulations and interpret what maybe
it actually
needs
may
to
help
done.
With your rates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome.
Thank
you
so
guys
much,
so much,
right?
Lori.
We'll be right back.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Authority Property Management, committed to providing service-oriented solutions to owners and landlords, offering full-time management services which covers everything from screening tenants to rent collection to final walkthrough inspections when tenants move out. Authority Property Management oversees single-family homes, apartments, condominiums, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial properties. Rental pricing, available properties, and a quick and easy-to-fill-out application can be found online at authoritypm.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
I just came out of the booth, and they said 15 seconds, and we're already going. Here we are.
Yes.
Little Toto, right? All I want to do when I wake up in the morning is see your eyes.
Now look this way.
It's my jam. Oh, there you go. I'm looking at the booth where my man. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM Talk Radio. This is North State Now with Enjoy Magazine. And I forgot to introduce, but my lovely wife is with us tonight too. Howdy, my sweets. She was at the office. I just said, come on down. Yeah. I like it when you're here.
Yes.
So tonight's going good. Got lots of
moving
fun.
Moving right
cool,
along.
Cool. Ugh, you turn the page. Ugh, that gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I've got to work on you.
Sandra. So we have our next guest in the studio. Her name is Sandra, and then we were Dodge Strike.
There you go. A mouthful.
Yeah, right? What is that?
Well, Dodge is my maiden name.
Okay.
Streich would be German.
German?
Yeah.
It sounds very German.
Yeah, but I kind of
what is Dodge?
English?
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
Dodge,
I mean,
like
we're,
the
we're
truck?
We're a hodgepodge. I found that a little bit Irish in there, too. When
Dodge, Reich, hodgepodge.
Hodgepodge, exactly. A mouthful. I dread it sometimes.
But well, we have also another great story in this new, or the July issue, and I'll let Rhonda actually, because I'm not looking at the picture because it gives me the heebie-jeebies, literally.
Well, Sandra's here from Reading Reptiles, and you recently had an expo, so you're going to talk to us a little bit about your business.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well,
I like your shirt, by the way.
Oh,
I do
you.
Like the, that. That
yeah.
looks fun.
So, yeah, great graphic.
Reading Reptiles is a family business. We are going on 10 years now. It's primarily my son and I, another mother and son business, that we do the majority of the work, but we have wonderful support from the rest of us. My husband is always there for me and has helped out during expos and even at the store years ago. But and my daughter also is part of the team, and she helps with social media and things like that as well. But
as things have to be these days, we all have the family all has to be
absolutely.
Involved.
Absolutely. And We are a business that shares our love of reptiles, pretty much. The expo actually is one. This was in April, the second of the most recent ones. We did one last October, and Richard came to that. He's actually been a fan of our business for years and has come in many times with his grandchildren.
And Richard is the author.
He's the writer. Yeah, he wrote the story.
So he came to the April Expo at the Holiday Inn.
And when we say Expo, this is your Expo?
Yes.
Okay.
We are the promoters.
Okay.
So as an expo or exposition, things are for sale.
Okay.
They are for sale as well.
So you have other companies there. It's not
other,
just
other
you.
Vendors,
so you have created the Expo for it to be
for reptiles.
Okay.
There are expos all over the world.
Sure.
And we are a small expo.
Yeah.
We had about 2,000 in attendance.
Wow, that's nice though.
Awesome. But I mean, there's a show this week. There's a show almost every weekend somewhere. But it's a place where people can go and not only buy reptiles but learn, meet the breeders. There's also novelty things and things like that. So we had decided that we should have local. We have a big enough reptile community. We should have an expo. And our first one was in October.
Mm-hmm.
We had it at the Holiday Inn on Hilltop Drive in the big banquet area.
Good venue.
And then we did it again in April because there was a popular demand. People were like, "Oh, do another one, do another one." And you know, so it's been great. We actually are doing another one because we had talked about just doing it once a year and going in the spring. And so many people reached out and said, "Oh, I missed the one in the spring. Can't we do one in October?" So I'm in the works of doing that. And so we are the promoters of it as
Reading
well.
Reptile
Expo
monthly expo.
Not monthly. Oh my goodness. I wanted. I need a break in between. That's a lot of work, actually.
It is, I'm sure.
But so it is just a way for our community to get to know us. I can still tell you, after 10 years, I still hear people say, "I didn't know you existed." And
don't pick up Enjoy Magazine.
There you go.
What the heck?
Yeah, right. And we were on the back of a bus at one time. And, you know. So it's a way to share our love of reptiles. Mm-hmm. We also do some nonprofits. So we've had Turtle Bay there. We do a nonprofit event for Tortoise Acres. Shasta Wildlife is there, and they'll be at.
Did you say Tortoise Acres?
Tortoise Acres. We're one of their biggest benefits. They adopt out at our expo, but they also do, we do raffles and stuff to earn some money for them. And Shasta Wildlife Rescue, they also come and do a presentation as well. And in last October, we had toured Turtle Bay there as well, doing a little bit of a demonstration.
Remind me after the show. Mm-hmm. Well, you probably, maybe you'll hang around. I'll reach out and talk to you. I have a question for you about tortoises.
Okay. Cool. And so tortoises are part of the reptile.
Sure.
So what I would say for reptiles, we have snakes and lizards, and we have frogs and spiders.
I like frogs.
And tortoises. We don't do aquatics, so that's we keep away from that. We've got enough aquatic stores here in town, so we just kind of do our own thing with the reptiles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the expo has been one of the ways that we've gotten our name out. And
I hear you do birthday parties as well.
We do birthday parties in our store.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, these children.
We have a room that we call our rescue room. 10 years of surrenders that we have taken in, and so we do birthday parties. We actually do small homeschool field trips as well, and a couple of the classrooms, like some of the smaller groups, where they'll break it up. So, yeah, we do a lot of education. It's important. And we are, even though we're not officially a rescue, we are this community's rescue.
Yeah.
We are
you
there
can't
for
help
people.
It.
Nope. And we're there for when there's problems. I mean, we've taken in animals during the fires, people that have lost their homes. We had, taken them in for a long time. Sometimes, almost 2 years for one of the snakes stayed with us before they got their home rebuilt.
My house burned down. Can you take care of my 12-foot python?
You're not joking. We have an 18-foot python in our store that was surrendered.
My body just puckered.
We do that as well. Reptiles are fantastic, and they are a great pet. In today's world, with busy lifestyles and things like that, or the types of housing, apartments and townhouses and such, reptiles don't require to be walked. They don't require anywhere near as much as a cat and dog. And though, granted, I have all the pets in my home, I still think that there's a big room for reptiles. And ball pythons in particular, that snake that you're so frightened of, actually is a certifiable emotional support animal.
Oh, my God. So, if somebody brought that on a plane and sat next
and
to me.
Snakes on a plane. In real life.
So here's the thing. This is what I want to know. That's your emotional pet or support pet, and that's my – I'm going to jump out of the plane. I'm so afraid. So, like, how does that work? Do they have to put us apart?
They probably would do that request for you, but people can actually take a ball python on a plane in a pillowcase or the snake bag and have it on their lap, and it's their emotional support animal. They can take it to college. It is actually certified. So that's one of our number one sales is, and we produce them in-house. My son is the breeder. And
I was going to say, do you breed
in-house? I have a question.
Yeah.
How did you get going on? I mean, what inspired you to do this?
I've always liked reptiles. I will admit that I was never a snake fan. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until my children started asking for pets, and my daughter asked for a corn snake at first when she was eight, and I gave in. And then a couple years later, my son wanted a ball python, and I gave in. And I kind of just slowly learned my fear. I grew up, I was one of four girls. My father said, oh, snakes are not good. My mother didn't want snakes. And so it's a learned behavior. It's a learned fear. A lot of fears are learned, but it is definitely a learned fear.
And it is, because I didn't used to be afraid of snakes. I only became afraid of snakes once I got bit by them.
Oh.
So then I became afraid of them.
Did you get bit by a pet snake?
Yes.
Okay.
Not mine. Okay. Somebody else's.
Well, they didn't do a very good job.
And I mean, it bit me, and it bit me again, and it bit me again.
Oh, my.
And I ended up going to the hospital because they had to take the teeth out of my hand because it pulled the teeth out.
Oh, my. Yes, because you pulled your hand back.
I did.
You did.
Yes, and it just ripped them right out.
Oh, that's
boy.
You sit there and you just said,
after that, I was like, everything bites.
That's exactly what I tell people when they ask me, even anything. If it has a mouth, it can bite.
Sure.
If it has teeth, it's going to hurt.
You're a genius.
Yeah. But am I going to put a snake that I know is going to bite you into your hand? Mm. Am I going to give a 3-year-old a snake that's nippy?
Mm.
No. I'm good. You know, and we have tried and true snakes in the store. There's always some of the little ones that hatch out of the egg.
Sure.
And they're like,
they're one of
pushing
those.
Out at everybody.
Yeah.
I'm not used to being on talk.
Yeah.
My hand. I talk with my hands.
You do.
They always get picked on.
They're like snakes.
Yeah. There you go. But, you know, if you handle them properly and you respect their environment and how you approach them,
mm-hmm.
odds are you're not going to get bit by
sure.
a snake.
Do they have different personalities?
Oh, yeah.
I believe they do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you talk to them?
I do. Absolutely, yes. And I talk to the lizards and the tortoises. You know, we have a large tortoise that lives at our house. He outgrew our store. And even last night, he was up in his little hide in the ground, and I guess you're not coming down, Dozer. And I turned around and walked away, and next thing you know, he's coming down the hill to say hi to me. Snakes can't hear, so they don't have ears. So they really can't hear you, but they can feel the touch. They can feel vibration.
I thought they could hear.
That's why they're the perfect for a teenager who likes to play Xbox or loud music, because a snake doesn't bother with
that.
I
had no idea.
We have a dog like that, so.
Yeah. Well, we just got our flash. It's time for our next break, so I want to tell you very much for thank you for coming on. And so where are you guys located? How do people connect with you if they have questions or looking for a pet or something like that?
So we are up on Lake Boulevard. We're in the plaza behind McDonald's
next to
the Salvation Army.
Yeah, easy.
You can reach us there. We're open actually now Monday through Saturday. I just started opening up Monday hours. I haven't advertised yet because I'm the one doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to get into the
You're
group.
You're easing it in.
We are on Facebook and Instagram as Reading Reptiles. And our expo, again, is coming up in October.
Very cool.
October 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's a 3-day
show.
Wow. We're having a Friday night adults only event with a bar in the room and stuff. So a little bit.
Drinks and a snake.
Drinks and a snake. It's going to be sipping snake. So that's the advertising and that. I'm working on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
We just signed the contract, but it's going to be at the Red Lion.
Oh, fun.
Store instead. And yeah, so they can reach us on that. And, Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate Enjoy Magazine's articles that you post. You guys help us so much. We really do appreciate it. I've had so many people reach out to me about this.
So you can find the article in this month's issue of Enjoy Magazine on page 50 called Cold Blooded. Oof, just the name. Right? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy Mambo Pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
That was a quick break, and I had to get my, my tortoise. I had to get my tortoise question in, so I got good information. That sounds like fun. I mean, when I look at that snake, you know,
I know.
I'm like, it's a great shot. Of me, it's a great shot. A part of me loves it. And part of me just, I just saw it. Again, you're listening to KCNR 96.5. Why can't I get that tonight? FM and 1460 AM. This is the Enjoy Hour. And that was our last guest. So we did things a little backwards this evening. We usually, our first 15 minutes of your intro, we talk about the magazine. We talk about things that are going on in the community, things that revolve around the Enjoy world, things that are happening here at the studio.
We'll talk about the store.
Yeah, and so our first guest had to go back to the
rehearsals.
Yeah, thank you. And so we just had to kind of do that. So now we're going to take it down a notch. Just like, take a deep breath, sit back in your chair, grab your drink.
So
take
it's
a sip.
Funny. So this issue, what's today? The 21st.
Yep.
Yeah. So
is it already?
Yeah. So our August issue will
tomorrow.
Be here tomorrow.
Today's the 20th. So
20th.
Tomorrow,
yeah. So the August issue will be here tomorrow. So this issue kind of is over.
I know. Right. Even though we're still in the middle, and also on two, our California City Guide, Reading, just came out
yesterday. We just got them. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is actually we do this every 6 months. This is a launch of a kind of a new format that we're trying. So it'll be interesting to see how it's
mostly visual
received.
Yeah.
So that's super cool. One thing that I wanted to point out is we are back in business, and if you don't know, we are doing Movies in the Park again. So we just got done with our second movie. We're doing very limited this year, only the second Friday of each month, because we're still trying to build back from the accident that we had. And so we just did our second movie, which was, what was it?
Lyle the Crocodile.
Yeah, and that was cute. I thought that was a lot of fun. We had a great turnout. And so August 11th will be our next movie, and that is Goonies. Yeah. So just a shout out to let people know to book their evening on that night to come out on Friday and sit under the stars at the Civic Auditorium lawn. And thank you so much to Members First Credit Union, because they are our sponsor this year, and they have stuck with us through thick and thin and are always there as a safety net to help us get the show on the road for sure. So thank you to Members First. Thank you again to the City of Reading and Civic Auditorium for letting us use the space. It's awesome.
Thank you, Julie.
Yeah, Julie. Julie. Yeah. Anyway, what else do we have? This is a nice... Oh, the new Clairvaux did an ad in the magazine?
Yes, they did.
I didn't even know. Look at that.
This weekend they're doing their Blessing of the Grapes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
One of their marketing people was just in the store yesterday thanking us for helping them find the location in downtown that they're going to be opening their new tasting room.
That's going to be cool.
He was like, if it weren't for you, it wouldn't have happened. And I was like, well, great. I'm glad I could be a, you know, a
conduit. Have you been there? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's incredible.
We've been there. We went there with the Schmidtbauer Street.
Yeah, for Easter.
Easter Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We went there for actually for Mass.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Can
you can go
really
there for
incredible.
Easter Mass, Christmas Mass.
I want to do that where you stay there for 24 hours without any sound.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You live amongst the monks, I think.
Girl, have fun.
I just think it would be great.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is a really good issue, though. I mean, we had the three guests tonight that, you know, obviously are in the publication, but there's always so much more. We don't ever get to really touch everything. But there's so this month was also Bigfoot Days
that
passed,
happened.
But that was in Willow Creek.
That was early in July.
Yeah, and that was the 60th or 61st annual? I think it was the 61st because we went there when it kicked off, which was the 60th, and that actually they had skipped 2 years because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
61st.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was always a good time. So you have to, if you miss that, you have to do that next year. We have some great recipes in the magazine this month. One is How Sweet It Is, The Cool History of Ice Cream, mm-hmm. and that's with Terry Toots.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a story behind that. I just can't call. I can't call him anything other than Terry Toot. And then, again, on page 70, we have a really delicious looking strawberry crumble. And that's your daughter.
Yes, it is.
I was like, wait a second. I wanted to see Jenna Ball, but I see Ryan, so I know that that's the married name. But I was like, that looks like Jenna. What a cute
Jenna.
Picture. She looks adorable, but yeah, look at how yummy that looks.
Mm-hmm.
I love me a good crumble.
And
or
strawberries, you know, they're out there like crazy, right? I don't know if you have strawberries in your garden.
I do.
Yeah, me too.
I do, and the problem with my strawberries is that if I don't watch my chickens when I let them out to run around free, they go first. They go in and eat the strawberries. Then they lay down and dig all the dirt up to roll in the dirt to, I guess they like, the dirt helps them to keep bugs off or whatever.
Uh-huh. Dirty girls.
Yeah, they're dirty girls. And they tear up the roots out of my strawberries.
I have something that eats mine. So I go out to pick them. There, I see this beautiful red strawberry.
And it's eaten on the back.
And
it might be a slug or something.
It's something. And I cannot figure it out.
That's a shame.
Yeah, so there's some events still happening this month.
Oh, sure. I mean, gosh, look at this. How many pages of our calendar is there now? I mean, this calendar is really taken off.
Yep. Ludacris is going to be at the Rolling Hills
Casino.
And Dierks Bentley will be there August 3rd. So there's some, pretty big concerts coming up.
I wouldn't even say anything. His name, Dirk, I don't like that name. It reminds me of a pickle. Isn't there a Dirk?
A Durkin.
A Durkin. That's
no,
what
a Durkin.
I don't know.
And then at the Cascade Theater, Molly Tuttle will be there, and Molly Tuttle and the Golden Highway. And from what I understand, she's a pretty amazing guitarist, and there are tickets available for that, so hopefully you'll go and get to see her.
Ooh, this sounds fun.
Really
McLeod.
Filled with
July 28th and through the 30th is the 76th annual Lumberjack.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Fiesta.
And
you
that's
could
a
do
big,
that, Rhonda.
That's a really big event.
I've
been doing
heard of
that.
It.
Yeah. I've never been, but we've always put it in our calendar, so it's nice to see
we
it back
go.
In our calendar.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And then there was the celebration that was at the Firecracker 5K. That's obviously passed, but that's always one good to mention for people to remember that, you know. It's funny because things have passed now, but you already need to start thinking about the ones that are happening next year.
And you know, that's a really fun family event. Jenna and I did it 2 years ago, and we brought Carly, and Carly did the little kid run.
Uh-huh.
She had a blast, and she got a medal, and it was just adorable.
That's
and then,
fun.
You know, they had a pancake breakfast afterwards, and it's just a really fun thing. And then you kind of hang out and go to Turtle Bay maybe and then see the fireworks that night.
So what we'd like to do is we have a page now that's in our magazine, and it is actually page 72, and it's called It's Back and Even Better, Enjoy Magazine Calendar in Print and Online. And it actually has a barcode that you can scan with your camera that'll take you right there. We've totally updated the calendar of events, and so we really want you to remember that you can use this as a resource to promote your events. So digitally, it's done for free. And then if you give us enough time when you put your event in, that we can actually take that information and put it into print here in the magazine, we will do that as well for free. So yep. it's an awesome thing, and we've got some stuff going on behind the scenes where it's going to even be bigger and better. There's some collaboration with other sites that this is all going to be incorporated, and so it is going to become the calendar for North State. So we're really working hard on that, and we just super easy. Just go to enjoylocalevents.com and or just go to that page, take your camera, and shoot the barcode, and it'll take you right where you need to go to fill out the events. So
it sounds like we're done, huh?
We are pretty much done, yeah. All right. A good one, good one. Good show, team. Knuckle it. Poof, there we go.
Boom.
Thank you guys for listening. We love having you here in the studio with us and getting to share the North State, and we will see you next month. Have a good evening.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.